Hi, this is Billy from the Main Street Opera House, and you're listening to Tales from the Mouse House.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land.
Welcome to Tales from the Mouse House, a podcast dedicated to the Disneyland Resort. At the end of the show, we're going to give you some details about a contest that we're running, so pay close attention.
Explore your destination. All you have to do is use your imagination and the magic will come to you. And you can have fantastic adventures.
Welcome to Episode 3 of Tales from the Mouse House.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us on this special Father's Day edition.
Yes, happy Father's Day to all you baby daddies out there.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. We love you. This week, we're introducing a new segment to the show that we call This Week in Disneyland. Each week, we will share our favorite historical events of the week. June 11th, 2007, Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage opens.
And on June 14th, 1959, the Disneyland monorail system opens.
June 17th, 2008, Toy Story Mania opens in DCA.
And on June 23rd, 1963, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room opens.
Jelly Dude, stay tuned for Disneyland Resort News. My dad Crush totally loves this park. Hey, did you ever find Nemo?
The Disneyland Resort is always looking for ways to help every guest experience the magic completely. The week of June 14th, Disneyland in Disney's California Adventure began offering a sign language interpreter at many of their shows and attractions. This new service is available every Monday and Saturday at Disneyland and every Sunday and Friday at DCA. No advanced arrangements are required, but it is advisable to request a schedule confirmation prior. For more information, contact Disneyland Resort Guest Relations at 714-781-6176.
On June 11th, Disney's California Adventure debuted the long-anticipated World of Color, Water, Light, and Musical Spectacular. The 25-minute show was met with rave reviews from the famous and not-so-famous alike. The new viewing area created for the show holds an estimated 9,000 guests. Nearly all the seats offering great views. There are two levels to sit in as well, wet or dry. The wet area is for those seats closer to the water and, of course, may be affected by the spray from the show jets.
Have you ever wondered how Disneyland got to be the great organization that it is? Well, now you can learn all there is to know about the business of doing business at Disneyland. The Disney Institute, created to showcase Disney best practices that can easily adapt to other organizations and is typically a traveling show of sorts, we'll begin offering sessions at the Disneyland Resort that'll cover topics from Disney's approach to leadership excellence to Disney's approach to inspiring creativity. One-day sessions will cost $499, but you'll be given the opportunity to hear some great case studies from guest speakers and receive field experiences within and behind the scenes of the Disneyland Park.
With the popularity of the World of Color in DCA, FastPass tickets are available for viewing if you're flexible with the show times. Normally, FastPass tickets are only for rides, but the lucky guests who get one of the limited tickets will get to go to the front of the line. FastPass tickets for World of Color will be available each morning at the Grizzly River Run FastPass terminal. Guests can insert their park tickets into the terminal to obtain the FastPass ticket to see World of Color from the reserved viewing area in Paradise Park. As with other FastPass attractions, there will be a limited number of tickets available for the show. Again, please note, guests will not be able to pick a specific show time. FastPass tickets will be distributed for the earlier show, and after those have been distributed, tickets will then be distributed for the later show. When all the day's World of Color FastPass tickets have been distributed, Grizzly River Run terminals will convert back to distributing Grizzly River Run FastPass tickets. Disney is also offering dining packages that reserve spots for seeing World of Color. The meal options are a prefix dinner at Ariel's Grotto, which starts at $29.99 for adults and $15.99 for children. Prefix dinners at the Wine Country will cost $39.99 for adults and $18.99 for children. Picnic meal boxes costing $14.99 will also be available. Reservations for the picnic boxes can be made online at Disneyland.com.
Disneyland is a wondrous world of magic, adventure, and fun. Every day, thousands of visitors pass through the gates, leaving their everyday world of worry and stress behind, transforming them once again into playful kids. But did you know that there are many, many hidden secrets living at the Disneyland Resort? Some are easy to discover, while others are hidden or easily overlooked. In this segment, we'd like to discuss what Joyce and I have come to call the hidden treasures of Disneyland.
This hidden treasure is just in time for Father's Day. When Walt's daughters were young, he used to take them to Griffith Park in Los Angeles, and as they played and rode the merry-go-round, Walt would observe the interactions of the parents and the children, or the lack thereof. Walt often dreamed of a place where children and parents could play together and have a great time. In fact, Walt is remembered saying, "What this country really needs is an amusement park that families can take their children to. I want to have a place that's as clean as anything could ever be, and all the people in it are first-class citizens and treated like guests." Sound familiar? And Disneyland was then born. The very park bench that Walt Disney always sat on and where he dreamt up Disneyland can be seen every day inside the Disneyland park. Just visit the Main Street Opera House. Just inside the front entry, you'll see the beautifully restored park bench that helped in the creation of the happiest place on earth.
There's hidden magic in the Mad Hatter shop. Take a look into the oval mirror inside the Mad Hatter. There's an animatronics Cheshire Cat character.
Wait. Don't you mean Cheshire Cat?
That's how you say it, but I can't ever say it that way.
Well, me and everybody out there.
I know. I'm special, though.
Okay.
Okay, so back to my story. There is an animatronic Cheshire Cat character from Alice in Wonderland that's hidden behind the mirror. Visitors see their own reflection in what appears to be a regular mirror. Then mysteriously, all of a sudden, the Cheshire Cat appears next to them in the mirror. Guests are shocked and surprised to see Cheshire Cat suddenly appear next to them in the mirror and then turn around to see it. However, the cat is not behind them. Maybe he's embarrassed because I can't say his name.
What's his name again?
Cheshire.
Or Cheshire. If you pay close attention throughout the Disneyland park, you'll find many ornate architectural pieces everywhere. But in one particular place inside New Orleans Square area, it pays tribute to Walt and Roy Disney themselves. If you look closely at the fencing on the second floor of the Dream Suite, just above the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, you'll discover a gold W and a gold R woven inside them.
Have you ever looked for a Pepsi in the park but only found Coke products? Coca-Cola products are the only soft drinks that you can buy at Disneyland. Coca-Cola made a deal with Disney to sell their products exclusively. Coca-Cola gives Disneyland all their products for free as long as they don't allow any of their competitors to sell their products at Disneyland. So don't try to order a Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, or Mountain Dew, because you won't find any Pepsi products sold at Disneyland.
Pepsi, no Coke. You don't remember that Saturday Night Live skit?
I don't.
John Belushi. Okay, never mind.
That was before my time.
Yeah. Okay, so we all know how much money Disney invests in maintaining the attractions in all their parks. So this hidden treasure highlights how creative they can be when faced with a rather challenging maintenance dilemma. You see, there's a small circular hole in the floor-to-ceiling glass that's used to project the ghosts into the ballroom scene at the Haunted Mansion. Now, it's rumored to have been caused by a guest who may have had a tad too much cotton candy, and he was armed with a pellet gun. Since the only way to repair one of these enormous panes of glass is by removing the roof of the attraction, Imagineers decided to come up with a much less costly solution, and one that proves how creative they really, really are. You see, they decided to disguise the vandalism by drawing an intricate spider web around it, complete with a creepy little spider. Now, we've never actually seen this image personally, but if you have, or someone you know has, drop us a line and let us know exactly where it is in the ballroom.
As many of us know, Disney pays very close attention to the detail, so this is one Disney original that you may not be aware of. If you're heading down Main Street towards Sleeping Beauty Castle, take a quick right towards the locker rentals. There, just to the right of the entrance to the lockers, you'll find a red brick wall with many different patterns of faux bricks, some evenly spaced, some wavy like cobblestones. This concrete wall was constructed in 1954 as Disney was being built, and the various patterns were tested for the various portions of the park. The wall was left in place, and the test patterns were never covered up. Speaking of detail, there are custom changes for each Disneyland area. Part of this transformation includes the changing of color, textures, and shapes of everything from one land to another. For instance, the ground in New Orleans Square is cobblestone, but in Fantasyland, the ground is green asphalt. The trash can colors and shapes also change, and so does the background music.
Now's the time for some ride reviews!
This episode, I will be reviewing Dumbo the Flying Elephant. This ride is very popular for kids of all ages. It opened in October of 1955 and is located in Fantasyland. My first memory of Dumbo was when I was in high school and I visited the park with my parents, siblings, and my 3-year-old nephew. He and I stood in line for this ride for what seemed to be about 2 hours. My nephew is now in his 30s and still remembers this. Today I love to experience the ride with Al and was able to take him on his first Dumbo ride, and we created new memories. The elephant seat is very small and was designed for 2 adults or 1 adult and 2 small children.
Or 1 owl.
Silly. Once you board the ride, you will experience a carousel-type ride, but you have a lever to control the height you wish to fly. As you soar over Fantasyland, notice the water feature beneath you, the attractions in the distance, and listen for the music from the band organ. There are no height restrictions, so each little one can have their own control. Here are some interesting facts about the ride. President Truman refused to ride the ride because he viewed it as a symbol for the Republican Party. Timothy Mouse originally held a whip, but they removed it and added a feather. For the 50th anniversary, a gold elephant was added. To avoid long wait times, plan to ride it first thing in the morning. This is a short 1.5-minute ride.
For this episode, I'm going to review one of my favorite ways to make room for more corn dogs. The Hollywood Tower Hotel, better known as the Tower of Terror. Located inside the Hollywood backlot area of California Adventure, the Tower of Terror opened on July 22, 1994. This 3-minute and 10-second free fall of terror is most definitely not a ride for the timid. Okay, so the backstory goes something like this. On October 31, 1939, the Hollywood Tower Hotel was struck by lightning in a freak storm, which apparently never happens in Hollywood, mysteriously transporting an elevator car full of passengers into the Twilight Zone, and caused an entire wing of the hotel to just disappear. Now, you enter the ride queue through the main lobby of the hotel, and then you wind your way through to a set of doors. Now, pay close attention to all the details inside the lobby. Disney put a lot of thought into this, and the place looks like something from the 1930s. As you move forward, you find yourself inside the hotel library, where the pre-show begins. On a 1950s-style TV, and what that's doing in a 1930s hotel, I'll never know, you watch what appears to be an episode of the old Twilight Zone series, complete with Rod Serling as your host. The backstory is shown, and the lights in the room begin to fade slowly. Then the doors in the back of the library open, and you're brought into the boiler room. As you wind your way through this queue, you're brought to a service elevator, which is actually the ride. Then you strap in, and I do mean strap in. The car looks pretty utilitarian, nothing fancy at all. Just a bunch of seats with some pretty secure-looking straps. Perhaps this doesn't bode well. Once the show starts, your car pushes back a bit, and a star field appears in front of you. Then you hear your host. Your ghost host. Oops, wrong review. Then you hear Rod Serling inform you that you're on a most uncommon elevator, about to take the journey of your lives. Now it's at this point you're thinking, what have I gotten myself into? I shouldn't have eaten that double bean burrito. Ugh. Then Rod tells you that that strange door into the Twilight Zone that opened for those 5 poor souls long ago is opening once again. For you. Then you see a mirror, with your car full of guests staring back at you. Then all of a sudden your image changes and you look more ghost-like, just like those five poor souls. Then, the ghost image elevator drops, followed by your elevator. You drop first just a short distance, then you're catapulted all the way up to the 13th floor, where the elevator doors open and you have quite a beautiful view of DCA. Only you're too terrified to enjoy it. The ride drops you all the way to the bottom, then back up and shakes you a few times. All the while, you hear this very, very annoying person screaming so loud that you can't hear yourself regret what you've gotten yourself into. Then you realize that that annoying screamer is you. And just when you think you can't take any more, the ride ends, bringing you back to reality, quite a bit more shaken and nauseated than just minutes before. The cool thing about this ride is the complete feeling of weightlessness when the car drops. This is actually accomplished with cables attached to the bottom of the car, so you're not actually falling, you're being pulled down. Imagineers figured that the only way to attain the speeds that they needed to achieve this weightless effect was to actually pull the cars against gravity. Now, this is one of those absolutely terrifying rides that is just so much fun that it's almost worth the panic it causes. Right, Joyce?
That's right. And I usually do have panic attacks when I ride this, but I still ride it. And one pointer that I have is try to get a seat next to the wall, because then you have two grips that you can hold on to for dear life.
Yeah, the ride and me.
Right.
I actually remember one of the times we rode this, we had a single rider sitting next to me on the right, and then Joyce was sitting on the left, and the single rider on the right looked up at me and said, "Is it okay if I hold your arm? Because I'm terrified." I said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead, whatever." Not thinking that I had two scared females on both sides of me, by the time I left the ride, both of my arms were just completely bent out of shape.
But he screamed louder than we did.
Hey, shh. Now, the wait times for the Tower of Terror are usually not very long, typically 5 to 10 minutes, and they do offer Fast Pass and Rider Swap for those guests with little ones too small to ride. And I don't mean little ones as in too scared to ride. And not wanting to leave the little ones feeling left out, Disney offers these tiny tots some pretty special treatments. As the parents are revisiting their lunch on the ride, the little ones have the opportunity to dress up like the cast members, you know, as bellhops of the hotel. And they get to grimly greet riders as they ride through the queue. They're also awarded a certificate fit for framing, stating that they're a future Tower of Terror rider, and once they're tall enough, they need only bring the certificate back, and they're escorted straight to the front of the line. Pretty cool.
In this segment, Al and I will review places to satisfy your hunger and put to rest those grumbellies so you can get back to the magic.
Located inside the California Zephyr Train in the Sunshine Plaza area of DCA, Burbank Ice Cream is a great place to satisfy that sweet tooth. When we went, I got the mint sundae, and it was pretty big and pretty good. In fact, I'd have to say that it's probably just the right amount. Joyce ordered the chocolate chip cookie hot fudge sundae, and the only real complaint that she had was that the menu states that it comes with two freshly baked chocolate chip cookies, but in all reality, it was just one really large cookie cut in half. Burbank ice cream isn't overly expensive. Treats average about $5, but if you've got that ice cream need, you can't go wrong. Seating while enjoying your treat is pretty nice too, with direct views of the Sunshine Plaza, which, if you time it just right, puts you in the perfect place to watch one of the parades. All in all, a return trip will be in our future.
Taste Pilot Grill, located in Condor Flats at DCA, next to Soarin' Over California, serves one of the best burgers in the park. When we dined there, I had a veggie burger with the onion rings, and it was yummy. Al had the Chase Pilot Cheddar Burger. The classic burger with a slice of cheddar cheese was $8.49, and the french fries were an extra $2.99, plus our soft drinks. For a family of two, we spent around $20, but that's average for a meal at DCA or Disneyland. They also offer kids' meals, salads, and snacks. The restaurant was clean. The service was quick and the food was fresh. I would highly recommend it.
And it's right next to Soarin' Over California, one of the best rides in the park.
Yes, it is.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-Fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinsci-fi.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Tips from the Mouse House.
Have you ever been so excited to finally arrive at the park that you forgot to write down where you parked? Well, Disney can help you locate your car at the end of the day with a bit of information. Just remember the approximate time you arrived in the parking lot, and the parking attendant will be able to tell you the approximate location.
Now, wait a minute. How can they do that?
Well, they have a parking system, and each attendant has a map of the lots and the time that they were parking cars in each lot. Next time, when you're told where to park, remember they have a reason, and it is to bring Disney magic to you each and every step of your journey.
Okay, we all know that watching the fireworks shows at Disneyland is just completely incredible, but they can also be quite the challenge, what with the crowds and all. Well, if you're staying at the Paradise Pier Hotel during your Disneyland Resort vacation, you're in luck. This tip is designed to keep you relaxed and refreshed while you're enjoying the wonderful fireworks. Head on up to the rooftop pole at the Paradise Pier Hotel, and you can see the fireworks. As an added bonus, the music from the fireworks show is piped into the pool area, so you won't miss out on a thing. Now, the best place to view the fireworks is from the far north end of the pool, but you'll really be able to see the show from anywhere in the pool.
And if you don't care about music, another good place to view them at is in front of Greetings at California at DCA, if it's still open.
Right, it should be. I mean, right between... Oh, I see what you mean. When they're refurbishing the park, they're going to take the Golden Gate Bridge down, which is kind of sad for us because I think it's a great landmark in DCA. But yeah, you're right, Joyce. Viewing the fireworks from that area is just amazing because you've got the fireworks coming up through the Golden Gate Bridge, and it just really looks cool. In fact, we'll put some pictures up on the website that's attached to the show notes.
Here's another tip for guests of any Disneyland Resort hotel. You'll receive early entry to Disneyland 1 hour earlier than non-hotel guests. The best way to avoid the long lines at the entry gate is to take the monorail, located in the downtown Disney district, right next to the Rainforest Cafe. The monorail drops you off in Tomorrowland, right near all of the early morning attractions in action.
We've all been there. You're so busy taking pictures of the little ones and the not-so-little ones, like me, that you pay no attention to the blinking low battery indicator on your camera. Well, fear not, faithful Disneyland denizens. Just head on over to the Main Street Photo Supply with your battery and your charger, fill out a deposit slip, and in a few hours return and trade in that slip for a freshly charged battery, ready for action once more. And for those of us with iPhones and other smartphones, although I don't know of any other phone than the iPhone that's smart, the Disneyland Resort offers many charging stations for all your power needs. Well, basically they're just electrical outlets, but they're great for guest use. Inside Disneyland, you can find these power stations by the Main Street lockers, at the east exit of the Market House on Main Street, near the Pizza Port in Tomorrowland, inside the Toontown train station, and in DCA, check out the Bowden Bakery or Taste Pilot Grill and enjoy some lunch while your phone is charging.
We are so excited to have an opening day of June 11th for World of Color. We are so excited. The team is just ecstatic to finally get to show it to the public. What's great about World of Color, there's something for everybody. One of the most delightful scenes is the Little Mermaid. She actually is in the first part of the show. She's going to come out. She does part of your world. So it's kind of like media blended with magical waters that take the song Part of Your World and bring it to a whole new place. Lion King is dramatic. We're actually doing the stampede from the Lion King. So we actually put you in the middle of it and you get to see all the wildebeest charging at you, almost like the movie's become 3D and it's now coming at you in a whole new way.
Yeah.
We're hoping to see everybody out here at Disney's California Adventure to see the premiere of World of Color June 11th.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Now, coming up in July, which is really, really soon, as we discussed in our last podcast, my daughter Amanda is coming for a visit, and we'll be taking her to Disneyland for her very first visit. So on our next show in July, we'll try to get her to guest host with us and tell us all about her experiences and how she felt about her first visit.
This past weekend, we released our first video podcast covering our Tinder ride from our May visit.
And this video podcast is available on iTunes. At the beginning of our show, I mentioned a contest. We're holding a Disneyland trivia contest, with the winner receiving an official Disneyland training pin. The trivia question is...
What famous fragile characters from the Disney classic Beauty and the Beast can be found in Tarzan's treehouse in Disneyland?
Send your answers to talespodcast@cox.net. That's tales, T-A-L-E-S, podcast@cox.net. And in the subject line, enter contest answer. Of course, in the body, enter your answer, your name, and your contact information, only your email if you'd like. And if you're the winner, we'll contact you to get your gift to you. Deadline for entries is July 16th, 2010.
And the winner will be announced on our July 20th show.
Good luck! If you have comments or suggestions for future shows, send us an email at talespodcast@cox.net. Or if you'd like to just discuss your favorite memories of Disneyland, glad to hear them. You can leave comments and reviews for us on iTunes. This podcast is copyright 2010 by Blue Ocean Productions. And remember,
have a magical day.